Okay, so last week and last couple of weeks, we've been looking at a lot of Old Testament history because the mystery that we've been looking at has to do with Jews and Gentiles being fellow heirs of the same body. And to appreciate the greatness of that, you need to look at the situation as it was at the time, that there was a big division between the people of Israel and all the other nations. We also saw that there was divisions within Israel. There was the northern kingdom of Israel that split off after King Solomon died, and there was the southern kingdom of Judah that included Judah and Benjamin and the Levites. But there was a split there, and they never came together again. But there was a promise that they would come together under the leadership of David the king. And by David the king, it meant the son of David, one who would be sitting on the throne of David. And that, of course, refers to Jesus Christ. Remember, before he was born, the angel Gabriel came to Mary to tell her that she was going to have a child and that he would sit on the throne of his father David and his kingdom would have no end, right? So anything that God says, whether he tells somebody directly in person, or whether he tells a prophet to write it down, or he tells an angel to speak it to somebody, everything God says has to come to pass. So if it hasn't come to pass yet, we know that it will come to pass in the future. The only exceptions to that would be if God said he was going to do something to punish his people at certain times. There were times where he changed his mind about that, just because of his mercy and his grace. But every good promise, everything that he said he would do that would benefit his people, he always brought to pass. And if he didn't, then that means he is going to still in the future. Now, we also looked a little bit in the book of Acts about the differences between the Judeans and the proselytes that were the converts who started out as Gentiles but became part of the family. And there were the Hebrews and the Grecians, meaning the ones who spoke Aramaic and could read the Hebrew, and the other ones who spoke and read the Greek. There was a difference between the two, but they were still all Judeans, whether they spoke Hebrew or Aramaic or whether they spoke Greek. But when you see the word Greeks in the Bible, then you know it's talking about Gentiles. Now, last week we ended with a question. Barnabas was put in charge of the church in Antioch, where a lot of the Greeks heard the word and believed. And it says that Barnabas went to Tarsus to seek for Saul. And we left with the question, why did he specifically go get Saul, that we also know as the Apostle Paul at that time? So I want to look at that, and it ties in with when the mystery was revealed and to whom the mystery was revealed. So we're going to be looking at these things, when and to whom the mystery was revealed. And we're going to start here in Ephesians chapter 3, where we've started pretty much every time, because this is where the mystery is defined. But let's start in the beginning of chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." And he said that because he was in prison when he wrote this epistle. Okay? He was in Rome in a prison. Verse 2, "If ye have heard of the dispensation or administration of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward," it means it was given to me for you, given to me to explain to you and let you know about, "how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words." So, how is the mystery made known to Paul? By revelation. That means it wasn't made known to Paul by somebody else explaining it to him or telling him about it. It was made known to Paul by revelation, firsthand from God. Or by the Lord Jesus Christ, because if Jesus Christ told him, that's the same as God telling him, because Jesus Christ would always do the will of God and speak the words of God, right? Verse 4 says, "Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." So verse 5 tells us that there were others to whom the mystery was revealed as well, by the Spirit, okay? So God revealed it to more than one person directly by way of the Spirit, you see? The word Spirit here, it means God as the originator of the information. So it was revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. So it was revealed to Paul, and it was revealed to other apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And then verse 6 spells it out again, that the Gentiles, the nations, should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. That would be a good verse to commit to memory, just so you're aware always of what the mystery is, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11 documents the time when a number of the apostles and leaders of the church saw the truth of the mystery, okay? It follows Peter's meeting with Cornelius. And I think we're all pretty familiar with that, how God sent an angel to Cornelius, who was in Caesarea, the same city where Philip the evangelist wound up. But an angel appeared to him and told him to send men to Joppa to get Peter, Simon Peter, and to bring him back to his house, and that Peter would explain to them how to get saved. So he sent the men. In the meantime, you know, Peter had the vision with the animals and the sheets. And God showed Peter at that time not to call anybody common or unclean if God had cleansed them. So God's working with Peter to explain certain things to him. And then he went there and he shared the word about Jesus Christ, that he's Lord of all, that he was raised from the dead. And everybody in the room, and they were all Gentiles, and they were not proselytes, but they heard the word and they spoke in tongues. Now, Peter had brought 6 witnesses with him, and he and those witnesses went back to Jerusalem to talk to the others, and that's what chapter 11 is about. Verse 1 says, "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem," that's where they were headquartered at the time, "they that were of the circumcision contended with him." Now, pretty much everyone was of the circumcision up to that point, right? So they contended with him, saying, "Thou wentest into men uncircumcised and didst eat with them." That was entirely taboo. That was something that they were not supposed to do. Eating with somebody was a big deal. They were not supposed to eat with those of other nations. I don't know if it said so in the law necessarily, but it was certainly their custom at the time to stay separate and not to eat with those of other nations and not to go into their houses. Remember the Roman centurion that sent people to Jesus Christ to have his servant healed. And Jesus Christ said, "I'll come and heal him." And then he sent people to say, "No, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. I'm a Gentile. You're a Judean. Just speak the word only, and I know that my servant will be healed," right? So they contended with him because they had eaten with men that were uncircumcised. Verse 4 says, "But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning." He rehearsed it. He repeated exactly what was done and expounded it by order unto them, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision." And that word trance means that something that was amazing to him. Not like a medium, you know, that goes in a trance, but in an amazement. "I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by 4 corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered, and I saw 4-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. That tells you something about Peter. He knew the law. He obeyed the law. He was not a rebellious man. But he said, Nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth, because he obeyed the law. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And he's looking at different kind of wild animals that would be on the unclean list in the law, okay? But God's saying, I've cleansed them, and don't call them common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. So he's saying the reason I went is because God told me to. The Spirit, God, told me to go with them. I couldn't disobey that, right? I had to go with them into the man's house. Verse 13, And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. So he's saying this Cornelius, he was obeying God and sending for me. And I was obeying God and going to him. Get it? He's documenting everything very carefully. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and that's the gift of Holy Spirit and manifestation, fell on them as on us at the beginning, just like Pentecost. When we all spoke in tongues, they all spoke with tongues. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, with Holy Spirit. Because remember, Peter said, Can any man forbid water that these men should not be baptized as well as we? Because they were Gentiles. He was thinking, okay, they need to become proselytes. You know, they need to be baptized and circumcised. And then he remembered, okay, Jesus Christ said that John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I said, these men were just baptized with the Holy Spirit, just like we were. Verse 17, For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? It would have been disobedience for me not to do what I did. When they heard these things, they held their peace. They stopped accusing him of doing something wrong. And they glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. That's when they got it, okay? Peter got it in the incident. These other men that he's talking to got it then. They heard what Peter said, and there were witnesses there to back him up, and they said, Okay, well, then God has also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. That was big news to them. Verse 19, Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only to the Judeans. Okay, up to this point. Verse 20 says, And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians. Now normally Grecians means the Greek-speaking Jews, right? But in the interlinear, there's a footnote saying that the word Grecians in almost all of the critical Greek texts is the word Greeks. Not Grecians, but Greeks. That means these are Gentiles. They spake unto the Greeks, to the Gentiles, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. So when they were preaching to the Greeks, God was working with them, and they believed, and they got born again. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So they have a great number, not just a small handful, but a great number of Greeks, Gentiles, that believed in Antioch. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church. Now, they didn't accuse anybody of doing anything wrong anymore because they had learned from Peter's incident with Cornelius that God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance unto life. So tidings of these things came into the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all. He encouraged them that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man. And I'm just thinking how blessed Barnabas must have been to see this in the Word, that God called him a good man. He was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. So he was full of Holy Spirit, and he was full of believing. And much people was added unto the Lord. Okay, so Barnabas was there. After Barnabas arrived, even more people were added to the Lord. More people believed. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, it doesn't tell us in this record why Barnabas went to Tarsus to seek Saul, but we can find out. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to chapter 9. Now, chapter 9 is before chapter 10. That's no big news, but it's something important to remember. What we're going to read about in chapter 9 occurs before Peter's meeting with Cornelius. Okay? Chapter 9, verse 1 says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." He would have no compassion, no mercy. He would arrest them, men or women, and bring them back to Jerusalem to be tried and executed. "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city," which would have been Damascus, "and it shall be told thee what thou must do." So he doesn't tell us in this record what those instructions were, but he just tells him, go to the city, and it will be told you. Just keep that in mind. "And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man." So they could hear a voice, and the way it's constructed grammatically in the Greek means they heard the sound of someone talking, but they didn't hear the content of what was being said. And they didn't see anybody, but they heard the voice of someone talking. "And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man." The word no man here means he saw nothing. Nothing at all. He was blind. He didn't see a thing. "But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord." So here's a man who knew how to recognize when he was being spoken to. And he was being spoken to by the Lord Jesus Christ, we will see. So it wasn't God speaking to him, but it was actually Jesus Christ speaking to him. And he recognized who he was. "And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight." Go to Straight Street. "And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight." And that's your name, by the way. He saw you coming in. He's already seen this. You're going to have to go do that. "Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call upon thy name, which includes me. If I go there, he could arrest me and bring me back to Jerusalem. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now, Jesus Christ just told Ananias something about what Paul was being called to do, that he would bear the name of Jesus Christ before the what?
Gentiles.
The Gentiles. This is before Peter spoke to Cornelius, okay? Because that happens after this. This is in sequence. We're in chapter 9. Peter spoke to Cornelius in chapter 10. See, at the end of chapter 9, you have Peter healing somebody and then going to Joppa. Where did Cornelius send the men to? To Joppa. So at this point, where Jesus Christ had talked to Paul on the way to Damascus and then talked to Ananias, Peter had not yet even gone to Joppa. Okay? So this is before the Peter and Cornelius incident. So far, Ananias knows that this Saul of Tarsus, we're just going to call him Paul for simplicity's sake, that this Paul would be sent to bear the name of Christ before the nations, the Gentiles, and before kings. You know, there was a king of Judea, Herod, right? But he said before kings, plural. So there's kings of other nations that he's going to be talking to. And he's also going to bear the name before the children of Israel. So we were in verse 16, says, For I will show him how great things he must suffer or endure for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he had something to eat, because he hadn't eaten for 3 days, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. He was with the disciples there. He joined the fellowship. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. So immediately he went to the synagogue and said, hey, I have something to tell you. This Jesus of Nazareth, he really is the Son of God. And he would go to the scriptures and show him. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which call on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? Everybody knew it. The word would spread. Everybody knew why he had come. So he came to arrest these people that believe in this Jesus. Now he's saying that he is the Son of God. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. I think it's an interesting phrase there. But the word very is the word the, just proving that this is the Christ. But they phrased it in a way that just sounds strange to American ears, that this is very Christ. How Christ is he? He's very Christ. But what they meant is he is verily the Christ. You know, he is the actual Messiah. And after the many days were fulfilled, the Jews, the Judeans, took counsel to kill him. But their lying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. They were actually trying to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed or attempted to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple, because he was the one that was leading the persecution against them. And they were all familiar with him back in Jerusalem. But Barnabas took him. Okay? Barnabas took him. Barnabas was at Jerusalem at the time. This is before Barnabas was sent to Antioch. Barnabas was at Jerusalem because they sent him to Antioch from Jerusalem. So Barnabas started out in Jerusalem. Barnabas took him, took Paul, and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ, in the way, that means on the road to Damascus, and that he had spoken to him. And how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So this Barnabas obviously he had spoken with Paul, and Paul had told him what Jesus Christ had told him, okay? Because he declared unto the apostles that this Saul of Tarsus has seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him. And it just makes perfect logical sense that Paul would have told Barnabas what Jesus Christ said to him. Now, so far we'd read that Jesus Christ told him, you've been persecuting me, you've been kicking against the pricks, go to the straight street and go with the disciples into the city, and it will be told you what you shall do. So in the interim, Paul had been told what he was to do, right? We don't know what he told him so far, reading in Acts chapter 9, but if we go to Acts 26, using the key of scripture buildup, we can learn more about what happened back in Acts chapter 9, okay? Acts 26, Paul is on trial before King Agrippa, and he tells the story of what happened when he was on the way to Damascus. So let's go here. We're going to start in verse 9 and see what we can learn. Acts 26, verse 9 says, and he's speaking to the king in the witness stand there, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. So he rounded them up, put them in prison, and they were put to death. And he gave his voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue. So he went outside of Jerusalem to the cities that had synagogues. And I compelled them to blaspheme, like he forced them to speak against Jesus Christ and against God. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. I mean, cities outside of Judea and Galilee. Like Damascus was part of Syria. It was part of a different country, but there were synagogues there, and there were Jewish people there, and there were people that believed in Jesus Christ there already, okay? So I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, that's high noon, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. So, brighter than the sun at noon, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. I'm the one that you have been persecuting. It's me. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. This is information that we didn't see in chapter 9, did we? But this is occurring at that time. So at that time, Jesus Christ told Paul that I am going to deliver you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. I am sending you now unto the Gentiles. You see that? The Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. The word send is the word apostello. That's where we get the word apostle from. This is when Paul became an apostle. Because he says, now I send thee. He didn't yet go, he will later on, but he didn't yet go to the Gentiles. But this is the point that he is being ordained as an apostle. First day, he's told, I'm sending you, apostello, I'm sending you. You are sent as a representative of me to the Gentiles, to the nations. And he told them that before anybody else had witnessed to the Gentiles, before Peter witnessed to Cornelius, before it became the thing to do, the acceptable thing. And what's Paul? He's a Pharisee. He is a Pharisee. A Pharisee, of all people, would have nothing to do with the Gentiles. They even wouldn't have anything to do with other people of Israel that weren't Pharisees, okay? They called everybody else sinners that weren't strict Pharisees like they were. He had learned from Gamaliel, the Hebrew of the Hebrews. He spoke Aramaic. He was not a Greek. I think he knew Greek, because later on you see Paul speaking in Greek to other people. So he must have been bilingual or multilingual. But he's a Pharisee. And now he is being told, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles to preach about me to them. So what a big turnaround in his life here. It's like his life up to that point is now over. Everything he stood for, you know, being a Pharisee, persecuting Christians because he believed that they were bad people and heretics. And now he's being sent to preach Christ, and not only preach Christ to other Judeans, but to preach Christ unto Gentiles. It must have just shocked the heck out of him, stunned him completely. But he had like 3 days just to think about this stuff. And during that time, he saw a vision of a guy named Ananias laying his hands upon him, who did show up and told him the things that Jesus Christ had told him to say. So, verse 17 again, delivering thee from the people and the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. But wait, there's more. To open their eyes, and that's the Gentiles' eyes, to open their eyes and to turn them, the Gentiles, from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they, the Gentiles, may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Who are the ones that were already sanctified? The Jews that had believed, right? The Judeans that had believed were already sanctified. And now he's saying, I'm sending you to the Gentiles that they may receive an inheritance. What's the mystery? That the Gentiles may be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel which is to be believed. You see, the truths of the mystery are being revealed to him now on the road to Damascus, or when he got there, because he said, it shall be told you what you will need to do. Well, this is Jesus Christ telling him what he's going to do. He's being sent to the Gentiles. He's going to open their eyes. He's going to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that the Gentiles may receive forgiveness of sins, and the Gentiles may receive inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in Christ. Okay. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He said, I had to obey this. But I showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. I'm so thankful that the record of what Paul said to Agrippa is written down here, because that tells us what he heard from the Lord Jesus Christ directly before Peter spoke to Cornelius. So the first one to whom the mystery was revealed was Paul. Then it was revealed to Peter and the others independently of Paul, okay? Paul was not around when Peter went to Cornelius. He wasn't in Jerusalem yet. When Peter went back to Jerusalem after meeting with Cornelius, Paul would have been in Damascus still at that time. And Barnabas met with Paul. He spoke with Paul. Paul told him what had happened. And then Barnabas was the one that introduced him to the other apostles and told them Jesus Christ appeared unto him. This is what he told them. He's being sent to the Gentiles. And then when Barnabas was put in charge of the church of Antioch, because there were so many Gentiles there and more Gentiles came, that's why Barnabas went to Tarsus. Because did we read that part where Paul was in Jerusalem and they tried to kill him there? Yeah, because he disputed with the Grecians and they sent him to Tarsus. Maybe not. Let's go back to chapter 9 there, just so we get that detail there. Let's go back to 9:27, where it says, but Barnabas took him, he took Paul, and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. and he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. So they accepted Paul in Jerusalem after Barnabas stood up for him and spoke up for him. And he, Paul, spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. And that would have been against the Greek-speaking Jews that didn't believe. But they went about to slay him. So the Grecians, the Greek-speaking Jews, went about to slay Paul. And when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Okay? So they took him down to Caesarea where Cornelius was, but Cornelius, you know, hadn't met Peter yet at that point. They just brought him down to Caesarea and they sent him forth to Tarsus, which was Paul's hometown. Remember Saul of Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. And then it came to pass that Peter passed through all quarters and came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there was a guy named Aeneas who was sick of the palsy, and Peter healed him. And then he went to Joppa, where he rose Tabitha Dorcas from the dead. And it was when he was at Joppa that in the next chapter, Cornelius sees the vision of the angel, and the angel tells him to go to Joppa. Then Peter comes to see Cornelius, and Peter finds out about the mystery that, yeah, the Gentiles can believe too and receive the same gift. And he goes back to Jerusalem and tells them everything that happened, like we read in chapter 11, and then they get it. But Paul had gotten it before this. Just nobody else knew that Paul had gotten this already. But once they had all these Grecians, or these Greeks, that believed in Antioch, and Barnabas was sent there to govern things and to help him out, that Barnabas went to Tarsus to get Saul and bring him back to Antioch. Okay? And from Antioch, this is where, let's go to Acts 13, verse 1, something else happened. Acts 13, 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So they are considered either prophets or teachers, okay? They're not called apostles yet here. They're called prophets and teachers. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, God, by way of the Spirit, said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. He had already called them to a specific work. You know, Paul had been called by Jesus Christ the same day that he met him on the way to Damascus and told him that he was sending him to the Gentiles. Now he's saying, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, the word sent away is not the word apostello. It's the word apoluo. It means they released them to do what they had been called by God to do. And so being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, and that word is ekpempo, it's still not the word apostello, because Jesus Christ was the one that sent Paul. He said, remember, the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee apostello. So he was sent as an apostle by Jesus Christ. Now they're just letting him go and do the job. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So they did some witnessing there, and then they wound up at other places. But that was the beginning of their travels specifically to the Gentile cities to preach the word concerning Jesus Christ. Okay? So, that's enough for tonight. Next week we'll look at more things, but that should help you understand to whom the mystery was revealed and when the mystery was revealed. Okay? First to Paul, then to Peter, the other apostles, then they got it. Although there were some places where it seemed like the mystery wasn't really understood. And part of the purpose of Epistle to the Ephesians is to spell it out, to make sure that everybody knew, to make sure that these Gentiles knew that they were in the body. Remember, there was a time in between where there was a group sent by, I guess they were former Pharisees, that told some of the Gentiles that they had to be circumcised. And there was a big dispute about that in chapter 15 of the book of Acts. And their conclusion was, well, any Gentiles that believe, they don't have to be circumcised. They just have to stay away from things strangled and fornication and from eating blood. But other than that, they don't have to keep the whole law. But even that didn't go as far as what's spelled out in the church epistles that Paul wrote to let them know that there's no difference at all in the body of Christ between Jew and Gentile anymore. So whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Gentile, the law has been completed. We walk in love towards one another. We believe in Jesus Christ, and we live as members of the body of Christ. Okay.